So, Boker Tov, today's daf is Daf Dalet. And we're in the middle of the sugya about what happens in a case of ones. We're trying to figure out why would we change things for an ones, what type of ones is it referring to. The latest shot of the Gemara is to what it's referring to. By ones is a death in the family. So that when we were talking about changing the time of the wedding, the case was that they had already prepared the wedding, and the caterer had already brought all of the food, and now one of the parents dies, and specifically the way that the Gemara has is very different from our times, in which the father of the chosan dies, and if that's the case, there won't be anybody to pay for the chosan, of course it's no longer the case, or that the mother of the kala dies, and then there won't be anybody to take care of her needs as a kala, the dress, and the dress really is not nogea, because the dress you can put aside. But the main problem is the last minute things that are done, you know, putting up the face and the hair and all of the things that are done for a kala, which, you know, it's not, the next day it's no good already. It's going to be done then. So who's going to take care of the kala? So therefore, what we do is, said the Braisa, is that we put the mate in a different room and we just proceed, before doing the funeral, we proceed with the wedding. Once we've already proceeded with the wedding, then the chosan and kala sleep together for the first time, keep shivas yemei hamishta, despite the fact that it's the avilut, after we do the funeral, because to them it has a bit of a regal. Then after the regal, is it any other? Is it novel on the regal? After the regal, the shiva is noyeh. That's what we were learning yesterday. It's an interesting historical sidelight, of course, that the Aviv Shel Chosan is the one who does the wedding. There's a lot of discussion and historical arguments about when exactly did this change. The truth is, it didn't necessarily change all over. There are many kihilot, particularly among Turkish or Sephardic, different kihilot, where it's still the Aviv Shel Chosan that is Dayeb, not the Kala. And the European Minag was excused for many reasons, and there's very creative reasons. Personally, I suspect that the real reasons are demographic reasons, which is the impact of war and forced conscription and so on the number of males that were available, and therefore the females became more competitive as to who's going to pay for the wedding, and just less like it is today. The more you provide, the better chance you have of getting your daughter a chosan, which is completely a demographic issue. So, you know, nowadays they've traced the demographics purely to the statistics of the growth of the population growth.
Except in China.
No, I'm talking about in the Jewish world. No, they never are. That's the fella. If you do the math on it, right? Was that?
Why?
I didn't hear what you said.
Why?
What were you asking?
Usually the numbers, you know, scientifically, they're a little bit more men than women.
Yeah.
No, but it changes, it changes after a certain age because of the male survivability.
That's not the only, that's not the only reason. You have a geometric progression in population growth. So because of that, if you have the women getting married a little bit earlier, the population of the women is geometrically progressing in a way that very, very profoundly affects, to the point where they've now attempted to make a takon in Lakewood, literally, that you have to get married earlier, because otherwise there's not enough chasanim to go around. Because you're always going to have many more women than you'll have men.
If everyone would marry between 18 and
20. Yeah, so then the population would keep up. But anyway, so the probable causes are demographic, but before this was recognized, the excuses that were offered were some very creative excuses, one of which is most fascinating, that the Gemara says, Kol anene misudat chatan, and is not misamcha, is over the chomesh kerleis, is a har Sinai specifically. Because we're not on a darga to be misameach the chosan, when people would be nichshal, and terrible things are said by Zerivra al Chamish Kailas, and because of that, we don't make it a simchas chosan anymore. But of course, if it's a simchas chosan, the pashtus doesn't mean the chosan's father has to pay for the simcha. Okay, in any event, I mean, it's just an indication of how you need to you need to sort of polish up the way that it looks. But Lamaisa, obviously, this halacha is going to change according to the actual minute. And it changes in terms of mominus as well. In cases where there were no clear katsunoyim, who has a right to sue who in Bezdin to pay for a wedding, and so on. That is also dependent on minhaga.
That's still the custom now that you have the shiva, you make mishteh, and then the shiva, or now do they start shiva immediately?
That there's a regal? Sure, there's a regal. This thing of regal, by the way, we've seen elsewhere. We've seen by Negayim, same halacha. The dinner of regel, Tosis points out here, the dinner of regel and the dinner of Shiva Sivamish, that's precisely the same. So Naisil Chasan and the entire party, the 7 days, and we're not Re'anu Goyim, exactly. That's exactly the same. Okay, so this is where we were up to, and we were holding by an analysis of, we were right at, I think, Dafka. Okay, let's start with the third line. V'chol otam hayamim. Now, during that entire period, meaning the entire period of the 7 days of the Mishteh, of Sheva Brachas, and the 7 days of the following Avelut, hu yashen bein ha'anashim, v'yishena bein ha'anashim. So they have to sleep separately. Or you have people sleeping in the room with them, which is the same thing, in order to prevent them from sleeping together. Ve'in monin tachshitin min hakala koshroshim yom, and for 30 days we don't prevent the kala just because of the avelut to do the normal things that she would do during that period of prettying herself up and so on, which normally in avelut we wouldn't do, but because she's a kala, we are not going to be machmer on her. That's mashmaut, is that on other women we would. So that there would be an Isser during Shloshim. However, there's a completely different way of learning this Gemara, which many Rishonim learn differently. And that it doesn't mean kol Shloshim Yoim during the Shloshim. It means during 30 days after a Chuppah, if a Kala becomes during those 30 days an Avelah, then even during Shiva we're not Meinea, which is how it turns out to mean Lahalocha, not the way we just explained it, which is the Pashto way of learning the Sugya. So Kol Shloshim Yom, it was like the Ran would learn it, that it means during 30 days from a wedding, when there's still the Yikr Sukkos Chasam Kala, then there's no din of Meniya Toch Shiva, not referring to Shloshim Yimei Avelis, which there never would be. Why? Because we have a concern to Shavot Titkaneo Ba'ala. We don't want a woman not looking her best for her husband at any time. So Menela Ramati B'Toch Shloshim. Okay, so here it says, "V'davka aviv shel chatano imah shel kala." The lekeinish the torach lahu. The only reason that we're doing this is not because we're worried about the expense of the wedding. We're worried about the fact that there's nobody that's going to take up now the responsibility, because until now the father was Isaac for the chasen and the woman, the mother was Isaac for the kala. But if there's someone else that died in the other direction in those days, Avukipchalov was the mother of the chasen, or the father of the kala, then we would assume that we'll be able to reorganize the wedding after the funeral, and we'll do it a different time. Omar Rafam Bar Papa, Omar Afiska, when we're talking about the loss over here that won't be replaceable because the parent that was going to be responsible is no longer alive, it has to be that there's serious loss. So Loshana Loshnatan Mayim Agave Basar. Let's say if we're talking about the loss of the meat. So if you already have put the meat into water and it's changed color, and then it's clearly not sellable at this point, and so you're going to lose that money, who's going to pay for it if the chassid's father is gone? Avalona tan mayma gabi basar. If all you have to do now is bring it to a butcher shop and you can sell it, take a little loss, sell it back for 10% less, not the end of the world. So then mizdabein, it's sellable. Omar Rava, you know, the truth is bikrach. If you're talking about in a place with internet access, you can sell it on eBay immediately. So that wouldn't be a problem. The only concern would be in a small town. Omer of Papa, but the truth is in a very small town, you're talking about a village. Over there, not necessarily going to find anybody to buy bichlal. So it doesn't matter whether it's already clearly been prepared and ready to cook or not. How often do you find somebody with that kind of need in a dwarf? So the Mela over there, you would also not have to worry about the circumstance. I understand. So then, where's Rav Chisda? He's like, in a big city, you don't have to worry because there's always somebody to buy. In a small town, you don't have to worry because there's never anybody to buy. So whatever the case will be. So what's the case that Rav Chisda was talking about? Elo Rav Chisda echem eshkachet la. Omer Rav Ashi could go mata machasya. Talking about a place like mata machasya. The mafka mikrachu mafka mikvar. It's larger than a krach, than a kvar, but smaller than a krach. And that's most, that's where it's supposed to be, that's the normal situation, is that you've got basically middle-sized towns. It doesn't have to be necessarily the largest metropolitan area. So in order to cover the halacha for 90% of the cases, we look for basically the mean. So the mean would be the case of the mafik from krach and mafik from kvar. In fact, this concern for the particularities of whether I'm going to be able to recover the money for the loss to the caterer is expressed in a brayta. You'll notice, by the way, that even though this appears to be on the surface very tangential, it's basically a very important insight into the nature of shakdu. In other words, if we're correct in assuming that the nature of ketuvot is provide the space for piri v'rivya and for bichlal, for being married, so that the nature of the relationship that's not easily cancelable and the nature of how it is that we respect the importance of women, and furthermore, the way in which we actually provide the wherewithal for a knisa l'chufa, which gives a sense of the importance of the moment, and therefore is itself part of the way in which marriage becomes more meaningful and more respectable and more important to people, that's the same idea as the Bi'ulat Mitzvah. It's the, as they would say in Yiddish, the arum in arum. It's the conceptual space that's more important than the realities here, and we are therefore working on this sugya l'gavi avilut for the same reason. It's extremely important for us to understand that if nobody's going to be Isaac in the Takshit in Shalkala, it's a disaster. And that has become very deeply ingrained in the whole Jewish experience of marriage. Maybe to some people it's become even overstressed. But certainly the idea of marriage is so unbelievably important. It's such a contrast. The idea of walking into the justice and the peace, you know, you decide on the spot, oh, let's run in, we go in, we get a little signature, and that's it, boom, that's the wedding. It's a completely different musik. So over here, it's not really so tangential. So therefore, the bride, it says over here, if the pat was afuya, the tivcho was tavoach, the yeno mazug, the natan mayim agabi basar, that's the point. So over here, the bride says, what's the case, not stam, that it was tavoach, but that you already put the mayim agabi basar, so it's going to be now a loss that's irreplaceable if Meit aviv shel chatan. Oh, ima shel kalah, nobody's going to put that kind of work into the china. Machnisim et ha-meit l'cheder, v'et ha-chatan v'et ha-kalah l'chupa, u'bo'el bilat mitzvah u'boreish, v'noheg shivat yemei ha-mishteh, v'achakach noheg shivat yemei ha-vabut, v'chol otam ha-yamim hu yoshen ben ha-nashim, v'ishto yishena ben ha-nashim. Now, the same case in which we have to keep the chatan and kalah apart so that they don't end up sleeping together would be v'chein misha pirsa ishto nida. Now this is a little odd. Someone whose wife is a nida can't sleep in the same room as his wife. Obviously it's not the halacha. Hu yoshen bein ha'anashim, Rich. Hu yoshen bein ha'anashim v'hi yeshena bein ha'anashim. Alright, well, so we're going to get back to this in a moment. Let's just complete the brayta. Ve'ein monim takshitin menat kala kol shloshim iyom. Beinkach u'beinkach, no matter what the circumstances were, whether it was a case of ones or it wasn't a case of ones, but somehow or other they never got around to the bi'ulat mitzvah. Now already it's Friday night, so lo yival lo berev Shabbat. If it's a Friday night, then intercourse is a chabura because he may break the tulin, cause bleeding. Again, we're going to see whether it's a halakha or not. And not on Matzei Shabbat, which is really weird. What does that have to do with anything that Gemara is going to talk about? Now, getting back to the details of this brayta, Omar Mar, Hu yoshen ben anashim, v'hi yoshena ben anashim. This doesn't mean necessarily that literally that would be in different homes. The minhag is lamaisa to bring kids who would be sufficiently aware of sexuality into the room, so that the chosin and kala will be embarrassed to sleep together. So I said, they're not really mityachti. But misayeh alei l'Rabbi Yochanan, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, afa pisha amru ena velut b'moed. Doesn't this prove basically what Rabbi Yochanan said? Because we have a big question. We know that if someone, Rachmana Litzlan, becomes now bereaved during a regal, so the din is that there's no avelut. But the question is, how far does that extend? There's no avelut. Is that publicly there's no avelut? Does it mean there's really no halachot of avelut b'chlal? So Rabbi Yochanan says, even though we say that there's no avelut, it's not that there's really no avelut. There's a public avelut. Avot dvorim shel tzinah, those things that no one is going to know about, such as intercourse, is knowing. That means that the iser of tashmish hamitah during shivat yomei hamishteh is the equivalent over here of during shivat yomei haregel. And there would be an iser. That's what it's saying. So all he has is the right to be lat mitzvah, by the way. Why does it have to bring a raya? Omar mar hu yoshen ben ha'anashim v'yishena ben ha'anashim. Why doesn't it bring a raya, as Tosfos says, from the word uboel bilat mitzvah poresh? It says right there, that's it. They have to sleep together that one time, and then they have to separate. So that separation, l'chora, is because of the avelut. Says Tosfos, not necessarily. Because if you just read that, you might think that boel bilat mitzvah poresh means because of the dam betulim, where we're machrim without dam, that you're only allowed that first intercourse, and then you have to be poresh because of the sveikas of nida. Nothing to do with the avelut. Therefore, to clarify that, no, what we're talking about over here is poresh, meaning poresh b'chlav for the avelut during this entire period. So then, we can only be medayek from this latter piece. So we have to have this, yeah. Okay. Yeah, what else was that? What was it saying? I mean, another fascinating thing that Tosfos points out is that it turns out now we're being more makel in the anilas, which is the oraita, than we are in the avelas, which is the rabbana. It's a fascinating, which I mean, occurs often. We often find that people we're not concerned with being makel in the oraita, but we are concerned with being makel in the rabbana because people become to be mezalza. But bichlal is a whole other issue over here, which is that according to Rambam, the first day of Avilut is the oraita, not only the aninus is the oraita, in which case the question is, so how are we makel on the femela? You want the rest of the time, I understand, you're going to be makel on the chosin and kala. But how can there be no iksimcha during the first day of the shivas yimei avelus, which is the oraita? There's two basic approaches to that. One is that eino chinami.
Eino chinami.
Four words. Boy, oh boy, the loop's getting shorter as the age is going up. I don't know. Right, so one is that in Akinami, the chosen cannot actively engage in simcha. So then it becomes only a shevi al taaseh, so to speak. The rabboni can be yoke or something of shevi al taaseh, but during the first day, you shouldn't be Isaac in anything merely the simcha actively.
Just be there.
The other approach is, which is very interesting, that the din of Yemei Amishtah is the Arisa. Also. Which is a big machlokus. So there's any really a muck of the Arisa?
The first day.
Yeah.
Is there a case of
Asidosa Losa saying? No, not Mamish. Not literally Lotasa, not literally Asa. Dorash Rav Yosef Berei the Rav Mishmei the Rav. So when coming to this sugya comes along Rav's son Rav Yosef quoting his father, now look, don't misunderstand what it's saying over here. Normally we wouldn't be choshesh for this business of having to have the chosin and kala sleep in different rooms or sleep with kids. That's only lo shenala shelo ba'al. This is only if they haven't yet had intercourse. Once that initial desire is over, so now already they've broken through for the first time in their relationship, So then already we're not choshesh that the person is going to be so driven to sleep with this woman that he's going to be over and do an iser, and then he's able to be with her alone. So yishto, in that case, yishto yishena imo. So asks the Gemara, what do you mean? But we are talking about a case where he was boiled. Didn't it say uboel bilat mitzvah? And then it says kolo tamayami, blah blah blah. So how could you say that? V'ahacha debebaal askina. We're talking about over here. The case is given as a case where he was boiled bilat mitzvah. Ukatani hu yoshein bein anashim v'hi yoshena bein anashim. How are you going to get away with that? No. Rabbi wasn't referring to this case. This case is different. This case, what we're talking about over here, a case of the of Avelut and so on. But when you're talking about Nida, you're telling me that what you're going to be Choshesh, a man for being over an Isser Karet. Nida. You have to have people around him. He's going to end up sleeping with his wife. So there, I'm saying, you added the words, V'chein Nish appears to Ishto Nida. On that, my father said, says Rabbi Yosef, that halacha is certainly not true. And that's only a kala that they had never slept together. So they're on the way to the chuppah, she's fierce. Anita, you have a chuppah of Anita. So that happens. This is not an uncommon occurrence of Zvanazah as well. So indeed, you put in kids into the room with the chassid and the kala. This halacha is nergel halacha, but it's only that one time. But once a person already had a relationship with a woman, we're not choshesh. She's going to be over on an Isser Karet.
You would have expected a thing kala shapir
sanida.
Sorry? You would have expected a thing kala shapir sanida. Each though sounds like a bigger
house. Well, whatever the case would be. I mean, as long as he hadn't slept with her. In this context, it makes a lot of sense that we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So we're saying v'chein mishishapir sanida. Even if it was afterwards, at a normal chup and so on, and now she's pir sanida before he had a chance to sleep with her. Also not such a rare thing, especially because Man HaZeh, when they play so many games hormonally with periods just to make sure you have a chasen. I mean, they usually mess things up anyway. So therefore, I want to make it clear that this little addition is not meant to be across the board. It only means where there was no relationship before. So that's Yu Yoshin Bein HaNashim, Yoshin HaBein HaNashim. And that's what I'm referring to. Yikomar Pirsa Ishto Nida. Well, how can you say that? Look back in the Braita. So what does it say? V'chein mi shepirsa ishto nida. What does v'chein mean? Doesn't v'chein mean, now going back on all of the above, whatever the halakas were on, in this case, what's the halak in this case? That there was a ba'al b'ilas mitzvah with pirish. V'chein, in the same situation where a ba'al b'ilas mitzvah, and then now she becomes not an avela, but a nida. It's the same thing. Isn't that what you're saying? So how can you compare two things? But the last one isn't really the same. Then don't say v'chein. So what's the v'chein? V'chein katani. No, the v'chein doesn't mean to compare the same cases. V'chein means like this. This is a crazy situation, which you have a chotzer and a kala not able to be sleeping together in the same room alone. We find it another crazy situation like that in a case where, that's all we meant. We didn't mean v'chein when you were boil, bilas, mitzvah, and then, that's not the point. The point is that we're focusing on the uniqueness of the situation. We're saying you have the same situation can occur one other place, where the kala was pierced anita before they had a chance to sleep together. So hachikama, v'chein nisha pierca ishto nida v'lo ba'al, hu yoshen ben anashim v'ishto yoshena ben hanashim. Okay, so, I mean, now you're saying a fascinating thing. You're saying that avelut is more likely to be over when it comes to avelut, because over there, even though they have already slept together, you're not going to allow them to be alone. So in other words, it means that you expect that it's likely that he may ignore his avelut for the joys of his new wife. But when it comes to a nida, you're not choshesh, which makes sense. But the thing is that we seem to have a halacha that says otherwise.
Perhaps.
That's what it looks like. The Amar of Yitzchak Bar Chanina, Amar of Huna, don't we find that the halacha of the way in which a nida treats her husband, so that kol melachot shishto sheisha osala ba'ala, we're going to have later on the type of things that a woman is responsible to do for her husband, and this reads like something out of a Japanese, you know, the Geisha book or something. Wouldn't it be nice? But anyway, that's mi'ikar adin. Yes. So one of the Geisha's important things to do, of course, is that, I mean, she washes him, you know, stands by, handing him the soap and the towel, and, you know, it's a really beautiful kind of situation. But these are things that normally you would expect a woman would be doing. However, she cannot pull the little tea ceremony with her husband. So chutz mi mizigat hakos, that's too much of a turn on. And chutz mi hatza'at hamita, she cannot, generally this translated as making the bed, but Tosfos points out, making a bed is not exactly very exciting. So that the making of a bed, I mean, that's heavy duty work, you know. So the idea of hatza'at hamitah is just as dafka, those elements of the bed that are making the bed attractive, not the work of the bed. You know, putting on a pretty attractive bed cover after you do the hard work. That's what's referring to. But, because it means without melacha, it's ein bo torah. That's the idea. And our chatzat panav yadav raglav. Now, even though over here, I mean, if we don't, but Pashto, she's certainly a nida is not allowed to touch her husband. But what we're referring to over here is that without touching. So hand him the towel, hand him the sponge, and so on. You know, I think at least that much you'd expect a woman to have to do, no matter what the situation is. Kabash malan, that is also too much of a turn on. Now, this we're talking about is the din of a nida. How about the din of an avelah? Here's the test. Here's the test case. You say that when it comes to a nida, a person is less likely to be over on the Isra of Nida than he is in Avelut, where he's more likely. So then, by that token, the din of a nida, if we're going to be machmir that a nida can't do this for her husband, so then Avelut is even more likely. So in the case of Avelut, it would be the same. And yet, ilugav Avelut Tanya, just the opposite. That Afa Pisham Ru Ein Adam Rishay LeKufat Ishto LeYot Kochelet LeKeset. Even though a person cannot force his wife, who is an Avela, to put on her eyeshadow and to put on her rouge, that's how Rashi learns. There's always Bachlokas and Rashi Tosfos about wherever we have this in Keset. So Rashi learns that it's rouge. Tosfos points out that from other places that we see that they're listed separately. He says it's one of the other weird things that women do, without specification. There are other Rishonim that say it means putting on a facial, you know, batzeik or clay and so on the face. We had this whole discussion, particularly in both in Shabbos and in terms of Moed Katan, Lagabi Cholamoid as well. Something that's a problem now, but is Hanole Akhazman during Cholamoid, so right now it's pretty disgusting to have a woman open up the door. Ah! Right? But at least it's Leachas Man. That's what we had, one of the machlokas. Okay, but even though he can't force her to do that, but certainly Be'emet Amru, I mean, it just because she's an Avela doesn't mean she doesn't have to do the tea ceremony, and doesn't mean that she doesn't have to wash him in a tub and so on and take care of the jacuzzi. So, this is for Mika, Richie. We should have brought Mika today.
Yeah.
To the daf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Oh, why? Why? Okay, let's try that again. Let's do it again. Yes. You were boating. So they say that no matter what the situation, you certainly expect your wife, who is meant to be a geisha by definition, to be washing you and taking good care of you in the jacuzzi, right? So you see that we are more machmer when it comes to nida than we are for avilut, which is the opposite of what we just learned. We just learned that when it comes to a chasen kala, even though there was already bilas mitzvah, all the time they have to be kept apart. Why? Because they're not going to take the avilut seriously. But nida they will take seriously. And here we see just the opposite. The avilut, indeed, we're less chayshish that he's going to end up sleeping with her. But we're more chayshish that he'll end up sleeping with her when it comes to the nida. How do you explain that? No cash. I explained it very easily. Obviously, the last case over here where it says a guy cannot force his wife to put on rouge is referring to the case where she is the avela. So where she is the avela, we're not concerned that he's going to get turned on because she'll punch him in the nose. Masha'en came when he is the avel, then we are concerned. Very interesting. Why this is true is a lot of discussion. I know some learning. The Rashash says, well, you know, women are more emotional about these kind of things. So if she becomes an avela, like she's totally turned off to life. She's not going to accept his advances. Others say, well, that's not the point, but the point is that men are tigers, you know, and women are less likely to be tigresses, although you never know nowadays. You know. But whatever it is, whatever psychological mechanism is at work, we understand that when it comes to his avelut, he's more likely to be over on Nidais than on Nida. And when it's her avelut, that she's not going to allow him to violate her avelut. So lo kasha kan bavelut didei, the kan bavelut dida. Hey, wait a minute. That's not possible. It says, aviv shel chatan, o ima shel kala. If it's the ima shel kala, it's not his avelut. And you're still saying that the case is, in either of those events, that we treat it the same way. Well, no. What it's referring to over here, kikatani, when it talks about ima shel kala, it's referring to ashara. On the rest of it. In other words, we'll put her mother into a different room, we'll put the body into a different room. But the last piece about who Yoshein ben, that he had to sleep in on Hashem, that part only applied to the Aviv Shel Chatan. No, that's not true. Because Vatanya, Misha Meit Chamiv, O Chamoto, Eino Yochol Lachuf Et Yishol Yot Kochel Liot Bokeset, Ela Kofa, Kofa Mitato Vino Egi Ima Avelut, וכן היא שבית חמי או חמותה אינה רשאה להיות כוחל ויות בכסף כופה מיטתה ונוהגת אמו אבלות. So if it says over here, since it doesn't now distinguish between his and her אבלות, so apparently it's exactly the same. It says now, וכן, they both have to be known, the אבלות the same way. Well, change that a bit, okay? So to me, put into that, other than the fact that Bavilut Didei, Hu Yoshein Ben Anashim, V'Yishto Yosheina Ben Anashim. Oh, put it in. And ignore the fact that it says, and so, V'Chein. I mean, I understand, what did he put it in? Then why did it say V'Chein? No, the V'Chein was referring to the part about, which is so unusual, which is the Kichel U'Pirchus, about how it is that she's meant to take care of herself. That is what it's referring to, that either way she's in the same situation. But, so then why does it say emo? What does emo mean? No, I guess emo. Doesn't emo mean that they are together? They are together, meaning they're together without other people there, they're together in the same bed, they're sleeping together as men, other than having actual intercourse. So my love, emo bamita, right? I mean, what's the point? No, emo means in the same house, not that we're not avoiding an issue here. We're creating a very important halacha. And the reason it has to say emo, it's not just because of norms, it's because that defines the chiyuv. Because what we're talking about over here is the fact that the wife has to act as an avela when her husband is an avel, and vice versa. But that's only in front of him. That's why it says emo. Emo, not in the sense of physical proximity in terms of intimacy, but rather in terms of but rather it's referring to the halacha of when this din kicks in. If she's emo, so then she's chayeva to be knowing in front of him. If she's not, if she's out of the room, so then she doesn't have to act as an avela. That's the point. And we know that that's actually the halacha, because we have the famous story where Reb Chiya's son had this maisu where his father-in-law died. So Reb Chiya said to his son, Kiryamalai Reb Chiya Levrei, be apa, in front of her where she's looking at you, nahog aveluta, for the honor of your father-in-law, you should be noag aveluta. De lo ba'apa, where she's not looking, lo dinog aveluta, then you don't have to worry about acting out as an avelut. So the emo over here is a completely different context and a very important halachic meaning, but it does not imply intimacy or yichud in any way. Rav Ashi says, can you explain what it is you're talking about? I mean, you seem to be missing the point. Don't you understand that this is a unique situation? Well, you're bringing a raya from our case, which is a case of chosen and kala, to other cases? I mean, how can you compare that to Mikiga Madamita Aveluta the Hachal Aveluta the Alma? Obviously, over here, we don't have to look for differences as what is Aviv Shel Chosen or of course it's the same issue because Aveluta Alma Chomir Vlo Ati Lizil Zulebe. Normally when it comes to Avelut, we don't have this question over here. It is Chomer, and we're not Choshesh, as we said earlier. It doesn't make any difference. We're not Choshesh that you're going to be Mizalzel in it. The reason over here we're Choshesh, that you're going to be Mizalzel, is because obviously we're treating this Avelut different than a normal Avelut. So over here, HaChakimen Da'akilu Be'Rabbonim, the Rabbonim were already very Mekel over here. So then they'll get the idea, okay, you're supposed to give a little bit of lip service to the Avelut, but the Rabbanan let us off the hook, so we might as well sleep together too. That's different. What are you referring to? What were we making? Where's the cooler? That we allow them to sleep together. That was before the Avelut began. I mean, everybody knows the difference between the Aninut and the Dinim of the Aninut, and they're not going to confuse. They're going to say, well, now it's only a second-rate Avelut. It's not true. The din of aninut, everyone is aware of, is different than the din of. I mean, look, nafkamina, in terms of so many other dinim, where aninus is different than the avilut, and what it is that he's going to be eating, how he's going to be acting, he live in mitzvahs, and so on. They recognize that that's a different stage. So, I mean, that's because the bo milas mitzvah of parashas, we should delo chalal of avilut. That's only because the avilut hasn't begun. I mean, no matter how, I mean, it's about chokas when it does begin, but it certainly hasn't begun yet. If we put the body into the next room, I mean, whether you hold of Rebbe Eliezer, that the aninut continues until the moment that the body is removed from the home, achi yetze mipetach habayit, to the funeral, which certainly hasn't happened over here. And for sure, according to Rebbe Yehoshua, that the avelut begins only at the point at which the kfura is actually over, achi satem hagolel. You'll remember that all over Shas we have a big machlokas we showed him as to what exactly defines the word golel, because right now, again, the dinim of tumah v'tahir also. And according to Rashi, this means the cover, the daf over the actual coffin. According to Tosfos, this is really referring to matzevat evin. Okay, but I mean, it's irrelevant to our sugya, but the point is, certainly the avilut hasn't begun. So what makes you think that they would in any way be more makel in the avilut here, which is why they have to have people sleeping with them? I mean, why is that? No, it's the point that they're not being knowing Avelut, obviously. In other words, all of us, everybody else, there's no holiday going on. And for them, because they're a chassan and a kala, we're telling them, ignore the Avelut. So the whole Shiva Sira Mishta, there's no Avelut. So they're thinking to themselves. So that means that basically we have special dispensations. So we have special dispensations, so they'll end up sleeping together too. And they're going to be machber on Dvarim Shabbat Sinai. So they won't be Machmer and Devarim Shabbat Sinai. L'diktani, Noeg Shivat Yemei Amishter, and only Acharkach Noeg Shivat Yemei Avelut. So they don't compare this to the universal halacha of the regel. They see this as being a dispensation. And the Mela, of course, in this case, it's more likely that they'll come to be Mizalzel. Don't ask from a case where you have a normal Avelut in the middle of people's lives that over there we should have to be Machmer, she's not allowed to be doing things for him, and so that simply isn't the case.